to another edition of On the Money with a certified financial group right here on News 96.5 WDBO. We've got the Oracle of Orlando, Joe Bertz, live here in the studio alongside Denise Kovacs. They are certified financial planning professionals at Certified Financial Group, here to take your phone calls at 844-220-0965. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Kyle.
How are you guys today?
We're doing great.
Well, what can the audience call you about today on this wet Saturday morning here in Central Florida?
Well, Denise and I are here to take any questions that might be on your mind regarding your personal finances. As we approach those retirement years, the paycheck's going to stop. We have to figure out how we're going to turn those savings and investments that hopefully we've accumulated over our working lifetime into steady income. And what that revolves around is planning, making decisions. As we say, they don't teach us this stuff in school. So we go through life trying some of this, trying some of that, wake up at 55 years old, look across the kitchen table to Loretta and say, Loretta, honey, what are we going to do? And, you know, the kids are gone and now through college, we got them married and it's just you and me, baby. What are we going to do?
Why don't they teach them in school? That's my question.
Well, you know,
they're trying,
but it's a slow process. Kids don't have this. You know, I think the challenge is children. I remember, heck, I was young at one time, believe it or not. And you don't think about the next 60 years. You know, you're looking about what's going to happen this afternoon, tonight, or maybe next weekend. That's about as far as your thought process goes. So it's difficult to think about the future. But we're here to get you focused. Yeah, well, so if you have any questions, go ahead.
You were going to say something. Why didn't you think they teach that stuff in school anymore?
I think, well.
They never did.
Well, first of all.
Really?
Well, first of all, you know, they're so crammed for all the testing that they have to do, they don't have time to even for gym anymore.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
They rule all that stuff out. But it should be a basic thing. And I know some of the medical schools are making it mandatory for doctors and dentists to go through some of this basic stuff because they're making mistakes just as well. So, anyway, we're here to clear up any questions that might be on your mind regarding your personal finances as they relate to questions that you might have about your IRA, about a 401k, about a real estate transaction that you're considering. Denise has an interesting case we want to talk about. We talked about life insurance and reverse mortgages and long-term health care, annuities, all that and more. Denise and I are here to take your calls, and the good news for you is we are live this morning, and the lines are wide open. So all you have to do is pick up the phone and dial these magic numbers.
844-220-0965. Just like that, in that order. 844-220-0965. You can also text us your question to 21232. That is 21232. Denise Kovacs is here with the topic of the day. How higher interest rates will hit your pocketbook. Interesting topic, Denise.
It is. I know that Gary Abley last week talked about the inverted yield curve and what that means and so forth. But, you know, what does it mean when interest rates rise? How does that affect us as individuals, investors, and so forth?
Right.
And how does it affect our pocketbooks? You know, interest rates are trending higher. I mean, they can't go much lower, right?
Especially after yesterday's announcement on inflation. And they're saying, for sure, interest rate is on the move, or inflation rate is on the move.
It is. It is. So what does that mean? The interest you pay on your credit cards, guess what? It's going up. Your loans, if it's not a fixed rate, it's going up. Mortgages, the same thing. Everything's going to be affected if it's not at a fixed rate. So, you know, the Feds are going to, it's suspected maybe a couple of times this year, more, they're going to raise interest rates. Mm-hmm. Right?
No question.
So that is going to affect the cost of financing. So having said that, if you're in the market for a home, a car, or any other large purchase, you may want to do it sooner rather than later if you can't afford to put the cash down for it. Right? So if you currently have a mortgage with an adjustable interest rate, you know, you might want to look at refinancing
that. No question about it.
You know, lock in that right now, even if it's a little higher than what your adjustable right now, because sooner or later, you'll make up that difference.
That, of course, assumes you're going to stay in the home.
Oh, absolutely. Right. 5 to 7 years, right. You know, to make up those refi costs and so forth. Excuse me. If you're planning to lease a car, keep in mind that car leases come with an embedded interest rate.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So take a look at leasing now. And if you carry a balance on your credit cards, many, if not most, have variable interest rates, and they do move higher when interest rates go up. So if you can't pay them off, try to switch to a lower fixed rate credit card or loan if you can do it, right? So if you think about it, rising interest rate environment may also hurt bond prices. What does that mean? Well, you've heard the old saying that if interest rates go up, the prices of bonds go down. Well, that's very true. So, you know, us as planners, we look at a number called duration. Mm-hmm. And I won't get into true specifics, but it really measures the bond's price sensitivity to changes in interest rates. So, for example, if a bond fund has a duration of 10, that means if the Feds raise interest rates 1%, the price tag of that bond fund is going to drop 10%.
Right.
So we need to keep those durations shorter, and you need to, you need to allocate, you know, and diversify your bond side of your portfolio as much as your equity side.
That's what we've been doing.
Absolutely. But, you know, rising interest rates favor savers over borrowers. So while bank savings accounts and money market rates won't make you rich, at least they'll begin to give you a little bit back, you know, and especially on those funds that you need to keep in an emergency fund.
That's correct. Savings account is not going to build long-term financial security, but it's the only place you want to really keep emergency money, because when you need it, you want to be sure it's there.
And I know when I advise my clients, you need this, and they're like, well, it's not paying anything. I get that, but at least now they're paying a little bit.
A little bit. Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, there's a few out there that you can find an interest rate.
Yeah.
Did you guys use bankrate.com for just to see where all the rates is?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Great website.
I recommend my clients do that all the time if they're, you know, comfortable with online banking.
But unfortunately, after inflation and after taxes, even though you're earning 2-2.5% of your money, you're still losing purchasing power every year, year in and year out. So as Denise said, it's not an investment. It's really just a place to stash money. It's a little bit better than burying it, but not much.
Mm-hmm. But it beats 10 basis points. That's where we've been.
That's no question about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 844-220-0965 is the number to join us on the conversation today. 844-220-0965. Let's go to Peter in Orlando. You're first up this morning, Peter. Good morning. You're on the Certified Financial Group.
Good morning.
Good morning, Peter.
All right, good. Thank you. Good. Thank you very much. I know, back on annuities, if I wanted to buy, say, a deferred annuity, would I be going to an insurance company or my Fidelity broker? You know, is it cheaper to go directly to the insurance company? And then the other question is, how do they get paid? If I give them a lump sum to do a deferred annuity, say, you know, started paying out in 5 years on a deferred, how do they make their money on the annuity?
Well, that's for our listeners that might not be familiar with all the various flavors of annuities. I presume that you're talking about your basic vanilla annuity that acts like a CD. You put the money in, you have a guaranteed principal, guaranteed interest rate, and at the end of that period, you can either cash it in or continue it or turn it into what we call an immediate annuity to get you lifetime income. Is that what you're looking at?
Yeah, I was looking for something for what the bottom line would be a lifetime income.
Okay. So what you're talking about there is an immediate annuity. And whether you go directly to an insurance company or deal with an insurance broker or insurance agent or Fidelity, there's a commission involved. It's embedded in the return that you're going to get, because all these policies are filed with the various states in which they're sold, and there is a commission embedded, and they make their money just like the bank makes their money. You put your money in the bank, the bank's going to pay you 2%. They may be earning 3%, 4%, 5% on the money. So that's the way the insurance companies work, just like the bank.
I see. Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Well, let me give you some more caveat there. When you do that, what you want to do is deal with somebody that's independent that can shop the annuity market for you, because the annuity rates differ from company to company. Sometimes we've seen sales, right, Denise, where you have a special deal going on right now.
Of course.
With annuities. So just like anything in that regard, and what you're talking about here is what we call a fixed annuity where your principal is guaranteed. That's different than what we're seeing a lot of today, which is called the indexed annuities, which are tied to the markets, and they sell it as, you know, market goes up, you keep what you get, and the market goes down, you don't lose anything. Be very, very careful with those. But what you're talking about is just a straight vanilla annuity, and you were talking about an immediate annuity. Why don't we tell our listeners how an immediate annuity differs from a plain deferred annuity where you don't take the income?
Well, you know, immediate annuities, basically, they do what annuities were meant, they were built to do years ago, is provide a supplemental income in your retirement. And so you give over, let's say, $100,000 to the insurance company, and based on their numbers and so forth and so on, and your age and life expectancies, they come back and say, okay, based on this and current interest rates, we are going to pay you X amount of dollars per month or per year, however you wish to get paid out, for the rest of your life, or however you know, maybe for your life and then joint for your spouse and so forth. So it's basically a pension, if you will. You're setting it up. And if it's done with after-tax money, Right. The good thing is that part of that income that you get back is excluded from taxes. It's just the way it works.
Right, so, because it's your own money coming back.
Absolutely. Right. Some of the principal is coming back to you. So these, you know, annuities were designed to be a supplemental income. Mm-hmm. And then they just kind of grew to be investment options and so forth and so on.
Right. Mm-hmm. Current rates on immediate annuities run, let's say, age 65. Generally, you can expect about a 6.5%, maybe 7%. On the upside, so if you put $100,000 in, you maybe get $6,500, $7,000 per year guaranteed for your lifetime. But as Denise said, you're getting back some of your own principal and you're giving up $100,000 in exchange for that lifetime income.
Correct.
A lot of major companies today are getting out of the pension business and they're transferring that pension liability to insurance companies in the form of immediate annuities. So they're doing exactly what you're talking about. They're shifting their pension to an insurance company to provide that pension. The only thing about immediate annuities today, the only negative is, as Denise said in the opening comments, is interest rates are relatively low.
Right.
So the amount of income that you'll get is really a function of what the interest rate environment is. So as interest rates rise, the payout, ultimate payout on an annuity that you bought it at a higher interest rate would give you more than if you bought it today at a lower interest rate.
Well, let me say this, Joe. There's also options, and there's all kinds of options out there. Mm-hmm. So I'm just giving another example.
Sure.
Instead of putting your money into an immediate annuity, where if you were to do that and die tomorrow, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
All right? It belongs to the insurance company. Perhaps think of a variable annuity with an income rider, mm-hmm. which does a couple mm-hmm. of things. It allows your money to be invested in the market in a portfolio based on your risk tolerance,
mm-hmm.
hopefully to give you growth to outpace the cost of living going forward. But it says, okay, when you start pulling out your money, we'll give you X percentage based on this amount, and it's a little complicated, and I won't get into it, but it guarantees your income, not the value of your portfolio, but the income for the rest of your life,
right.
depending on how you set it up. So
right.
that might be another option for Peter. It depends on his situation.
And some of those have long-term care riders to them as well?
Well, long-term care, I think they're kind of limited to nursing homes alone.
Well, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
But having something is better than nothing.
Sure.
You know, I went through that last year with both of my parents. You know, they both mm-hmm. were in assisted living facilities. And
yep.
the cost,
I know. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep. And one other idea on annuity, if you're charitably inclined, is to do it a charitable gift annuity. You give that principal, give that $100,000 to a charity, and you get a tax deduction. Now, you don't get a $100,000 tax deduction because you're not giving the $100,000 without strings. You're giving the money to a charity in exchange for lifetime income, and as we said, that may be work for you as well. So there's all kinds of ways to skin the cat. There's all kinds of options. There's no one size fits all. But Peter, appreciate the call, and you gave us an opportunity to talk about annuities. There we go.
Good way to kick it off.
That's it.
It's unfortunate that annuities get a bad rap because everybody's situation is very different, and for some people they might not make sense, but others they make perfect sense.
Yes.
Absolutely.
But the ones you want to watch are the ones that offer the free lunch and dinner seminars, because those are the ones that are generally packed with fees and expenses, and they're very, very difficult to get out of. And the reason that they promote them at these lunch and dinner seminars is because they pay a high commission, and that's how you pay for the lunch and dinner.
Exactly.
That's how it works.
So you're saying that annuities are good unless it came with a free lunch or dinner?
Well, generally, yes.
Generally. General rule that I can follow.
Just
the back of my mind.
Or the ones that have these big upfront bonuses.
Or big upfront bonuses.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Because nothing is for free.
Nothing's for free.
They want to pay you X amount of percentage based on how much you put in.
Yeah.
Well, you're paying for that.
Yeah. Somewhere.
Right. Yeah.
Somehow.
Right.
Gotcha.
By the way, you want to let our listeners know that once again, we're on Facebook Live right there. Mr. Studio Producer Donnie Morehouse, right? So all you need to go is go on to Facebook, and in the search bar, type in Certified Financial Group, and it'll take you right into our studio, and you'll see the lovely Denise Kovach here and my aging face right here before your eyes, and see what we do here behind the scenes. So just go to Facebook, type in the search bar, Certified Financial Group, and we'll bring you right in the studio, and you can even ask some questions along the way. Donnie, can you see those questions when they come in? All right, we can see it all.
Yeah, we got a good-looking shirt Joe's wearing today. That's the real reason.
You like that?
Yeah, that's a good
like
shirt.
That?
I do
man.
Like that shirt today.
Thank you very much.
844-220-0965. 844-220-0965. You have a follow-up question about annuities from Peter. We also have the text line up and running as 21232.
All right, this is a little off the wall, a little off the subject.
Okay.
But I was talking to my son today, and we have a number of clients, and we get off on these tangents, and we talk about food and all this stuff.
Of course, yes.
And the Amazon had their Prime Day the other day, you know, where you can stuff cheap. One of the big sellers was the Instapot. Mm-hmm. You know what the Instapot is?
No, please explain.
You know what Instapot? No. Do you know what the Instapot is? You know what the Instapot is? It's a pressure cooker, but it's a pressure cooker with technology attached to it. I mean, it's got all kinds
of
food.
Phone.
Yeah. So it's really it's something, and it's one of the big seller at Christmas time. It was one of the biggest sellers in the Prime Day. It was half price. I can't tell you the number of clients we talked to about that bought it and is still in the box.
What?
They read the book, and they're afraid of pressure cookers because they remember in the old day when the pressure cookers would explode.
My mother would tell me,
So I'd just be curious as to how many of our listeners out there own an Instapot that have never used it. So just pick up the phone and dial, text us. I'm just curious as to how many folks out there that have bought the Instapot, got it as a gift, and it's still in the... You pull out the manual.
You're afraid of that.
Yeah, you pull out the manual and say, this is more than I want to load, and it's still sitting in the box.
Yeah.
Well, they did have a bad rap. People got hurt by the older ones.
Yeah.
And then what did that show, This Is Us, just ruin that? Because that was a big thing when one of the main characters got blown up by an Instapot back in the 70s. Yeah, it was a thing.
Well, it wasn't an Instapot.
No, it wasn't an Instapot.
Oh, well, yeah, right. No, well, a pressure cooker.
Yes.
Yeah, well, Texas, 21232, we'll do a text poll today.
I guarantee you, we've got a number of listeners out there that have brand new Instapot in the box that they've looked at and said, maybe one of these days we'll get the kids to come in and show us how to use this.
Now, well, not only are we turning around the pressure cooker imaging today, we're planning tomorrow.
Today.
Let's get the three big things you need to know. And welcome back to On the Money here with the Certified Financial Group on News 96.5 WDBO. Joe Burton and Denise Kovacs live here in the studio taking your phone calls at 844-220-0965. That's 844-220-0965. We are 1 minute away from the latest news, weather, and traffic. We got talking about pressure cookers. Lost track of time in the first segment.
I guess there aren't any Instapot
non-users
out there.
Instapot users.
Well, nobody wants to admit to it.
That's probably true too. Or you're probably going Instapot. I don't have one of those, but because I have a pressure cooker, it's the same thing, folks. 844-220-0965.
The pressure cooker, if it's like the old one, well, it's not the problem.
844-220-0965, the number to dial in. Denise, what we got from the workshops that you guys are offering each and every week at the Certified Financial Group? I believe you got some coming up.
We do. The next one coming up is on August the 25th. It's at 9 o'clock through 11 o'clock in our Altamont Springs office. It's about healthcare options and retirement, and it's being sponsored by my colleague and Joe's colleague, Gary Abley. So leave your checkbook at home, come out, learn a lot about healthcare, which is, as you know, going to be about a $250,000 expense for us in retirement. So,
what's the date on that one? That one may be filled.
Well,
is that the
August
next
25th,
one? That's
it
filled.
Is.
Filled. Uh-oh. That is filled.
You missed out, folks.
That
well,
is filled.
Okay.
That
so
is
if you want to come to the next one, you go on our website, financialgroup.com, and you look under workshops and events, and you can find the next one.
All right.
It'll be there for you.
And if you want to call Denise and Joe right now, we got a couple of good text questions in. Please explain the Lady Bird deed tax, inheritance, pluses and minuses. We'll get to that right after we get the latest news, weather, and traffic with Dave Wall in the News 96.5 Newsroom. This is On the Money with a Certified Financial Group right here on News 96.5 WDBO. We've got the Oracle of Orlando, Joe Burt, alongside Denise Kovacs, Certified Financial Planner Professionals and Certified Financial Group, here to take your phone calls at 844-220-0965. That is 844-220-0965. We also have the text machine up and running as well at 21232. That is 21232. Joe, for anybody that may have joined us during the latest news, weather, and traffic, what can they call you about today?
Denise and I are here to answer any questions that might be on your mind regarding your personal finances. Over the years, we've taken all kinds of calls, most of which we can answer, and the ones we can't, we promise to get back to you or get the answer to you, or you're welcome to call our office. But there's no question that might be on your mind that you think it's might silly or might sound stupid. In fact, you don't even have to use your real name. You can pretend you're somebody else when you pick up the phone. So we're here to answer those financial questions, stuff that they don't teach you in school, but the things that you have to make decisions about. I got real estate and annuities and life insurance and reverse mortgages, long-term health care, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, 401ks, IRAs, all that and more. The things that Denise and I and the other 11 certified financial planner professionals deal with day in and day out for a fee. But on Saturday morning, we do this planning absolutely free. So if you have any questions about any of those topics or anything else I may have missed, All you have to do is pick up the phone and dial these magic numbers.
844-220-0965. That's 844-220-0965. And it's never too early to be thinking about retirement.
It is not.
Even the 14-year-old Bagger Republic should be thinking about retirement.
Yeah, exactly. And we may want to mention once again that we are on Facebook Live, so if you want to peer into the studio and take a glance at Denise and me and look behind the scenes is what we do here every Saturday morning on WDBO. All you have to do is go to your Facebook page. In the search bar, type in Certified Financial Group, and it'll bring you right into the studio, and you can peer behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. Woo-hoo!
There you go. All right, we got a text in at 21232. Please explain a ladybird deed tax and inheritance pluses and minuses.
Well, there's no ladybird deed tax, but there's ladybird deed. I think what they're talking about tax is that it relates to inheritances and so forth. Ladybird deed is the ability for a homeowner to pass their property, their residence generally, onto a survivor. Stay in the house for your lifetime, and when you're gone, it's going to pass to the survivor, avoids probate, and the survivor gets a, what we call a step-up in basis, which means that that survivor can then sell that property the next day and pay absolutely no sales taxes. And there's no, in the state of Florida, we don't have an effective inheritance tax and estate taxes. Unless you have a huge estate, $25, $26 million, you're probably not going to pay any estate taxes. So that's the way it is. It should be done by an attorney. This is not do-it-yourself time. You want to be sure it's recorded properly, but that's the way it works. Pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm. Simple.
Yep.
Just like that.
You know, the mistake that we've seen, we've talked time and time again, the mistake that people make, right, Denise, is they have the house, mom's there, and she wants to be sure it goes to the kids. What does she do?
Puts the kids' names on the title.
Yes. Not a good idea. Not a good idea.
Huh. Okay.
No, not a good idea because, heaven forbid, the kids get sued, get divorced, have a car wreck, then the house is now part of it. And the kids lose the what we call a step-up in basis, which is what I just talked about a few minutes ago, where that house can pass without any taxes, income taxes, when the property is sold by the beneficiaries, by the inheritors. So, yeah, you want to avoid that. And we see that all the time. People think, well, this is what I was told to do. You know, this is what Harry said we should do because, we're going to avoid probate and they're going to avoid, nobody will even know about it. It's going to go to the kids. We can stay out of the courthouse. Well, it doesn't work that way, folks.
Mm-mm.
It does not work that way. So...
talk with a professional.
Talk to a professional, yep.
What are some of the other most common, you know, myths that you see in your clients ask you that you'd like to clarify?
Well, I think the most common myth is that I'm not going to live that long. Oh. You hear that when you do planning, Denise? You know, you tell them, we do projections, life expectancies and so forth. And what are you projecting out for life expectancies nowadays?
Well, typically a woman, 93, mm-hmm. A man, 87.
Mm-hmm.
But, I've got people who say I'm going to live to 100. So but, I really don't have a whole lot of that. They want to make sure.
I don't
sure.
know. Maybe it's my I have a bunch of not-so-healthy clients.
Mm-hmm.
But, I hear it often that, when we do the projections and we project that, the guy's 60 years old, he wants to retire, and I've got another 25, 30 years I have to worry about, and his eyes roll, and then I ask him, how old was your dad when he died? Well, he was 91,
And your mom?
And your mom,
she was
still living. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a challenge that we have today because we're living longer and we're spending more in retirement and we want to do more and generally we go into retirement not being prepared because we haven't saved enough. Social Security
the prices
is
of everything's only going up and up.
Yeah, yes. And if we do run the numbers later in life, regardless if they roll their eyes at us and say, I'm going to die at 70, well, if we run the numbers and you're looking good at 90, then go ahead and die at 70. You're going to have money, okay?
Yeah, right. You can't take it to heaven with you.
Right, mm-mm. Yeah. It's,
no, you can't.
You don't have a hearse. Never seen a hearse being pulled, pulling a U-Haul trailer full of money.
That's a good point. That's true.
I've not seen that.
That's true, because most of the kids would take it before
exactly.
it even gets there.
Oh, my goodness.
And you had an interesting case. We got some clients that want to buy a house and have to short on cash and want to do some stuff. How'd that work out?
And I've got a handful of clients. Everybody's like, I want to move here. I want to move there. We're selling our residence, and things are moving right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the real estate is pop,
mm-hmm.
up. And,
mm-hmm.
But interesting case is... they need some money because the what ifs of what if my house doesn't sell? I need the funds to buy the other piece of property and so forth. Well, I want to take a distribution from my IRA. How does that kind of work? Well, you have a 60-day period from the day you get that distribution. Okay, and I want to preface this by saying don't try this at home. Okay, you need a professional to work with you on this. Okay, but take a distribution from your IRA. You do have a 60-day period. Okay, to get that money back in your IRA without having to pay any income taxes, and if you're under age 59 and a half, a penalty. but it has to be within that 60-day period. So do that, and if you get to the point where, okay, I don't have the monies to put back in yet, our house hasn't sold, then perhaps your spouse's IRA, we do a rollover from that. So take the rollover from her IRA,
put it in,
and
back.
Then take that money and put it back into the first IRA. Then you have another 60 days. But be very careful, okay, because, again, you're limited to that 60-day period, and you're only limited to do it one time per year per IRA. So it's again, do not try this at home.
Yeah, it's a way to get the money, but it's dangerous if you blow that 60-day, or in this case the 120-day, because you're using two IRAs. Because
absolutely.
Then you're looking at stiff penalties, perhaps, and certainly taxes.
My first suggestion would be go to the bank. Go, I don't care if it's a credit union, the bank. You know, if you can get a bridge loan, can you get an equity loan on your current home, just to do all of that until you get
right.
to where you need to
right.
be. That, in my opinion, is the safest route.
Right.
But if you're up against the wall, you do have options, but you need to be very careful, just like right. Joe said.
Yeah. The home equity loan is certainly the best way to go.
Sure.
You can do it short term. Interest rate isn't that much, and you're going to pay it off in a relatively short period of time. But as Denise says, you always have the fallback on the IRA, and that's always the possibility.
Is a reverse mortgage instead of a home equity loan an option as
that
well?
That it may be some, depending on what the new place looks like. Of course, it needs to be built, or you need to have it along the way and to be able to get the financing on it. But it may be a way, because people are buying their homes now with a reverse mortgage, putting some equity in and then using reverse mortgage to totally eliminate a mortgage on their new property.
That's
so
that's
another option.
But not an
doesn't
option
work
to get
in all
the
cases.
Really cash flow to buy the other place.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. You have to run the numbers. Yep.
When I was in CFP class, you'd ask a question, the instructor would always say, that depends.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
It's not always one right. answer, because everybody's very different.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
You know.
All right. Well, if you have a question for the panel, it's 844-220-0965. It's 844-220-0965, 21232. We have a text question in, 21232. I'm 68. Should I keep paying for $100,000 whole life insurance?
It depends.
There we go again. It really does depend. You know, when did you get that whole life insurance policy? Were you 25? You're probably paying $100 a year for it. And you've got $100,000 in tax-free life insurance benefits. Maybe you ought to keep it, if it makes sense. But it
yep.
really depends on the situation. What do you think, Joe?
Well, you want to take a hard look at that policy. The $100,000 whole life, you have cash value in it. You have to recognize that you really don't have $100,000. You have $100,000 death benefit, but some of that death benefit is your own money.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have $50,000 worth of cash value, the insurance company is really only on the hook for $50,000, because when you pass away, you're going to get $100,000, but $50,000 of it is going to be your own cash value that comes back to you. Now, whether or not you need life insurance is a function of what your survivor's situation looks like. If you're by yourself and, you know, you may not need it, you may need, and it, depending on what your health is,
mm-hmm.
you know, if your health is in such good shape, that's not a bad investment, if you will, because
right.
you know that that's going to pay off. It's, as Denise says, $100,000 totally tax-free. So every situation is unique. When we look at insurance, we suggest for most of our clients that you buy term insurance, simply because that's the purest form of insurance. It's the least expensive. You can buy it for 30 years, and of course, depending on your age. But so I wish I could give you a straight, but there's many variables that enter into that decision. So I see another one up there.
Yep. Got another text question in, 21232. Can I take money from my Roth? Currently have $40,000. I am working under 55 years of age.
If you've had the Roth for at least 5 years, right, Denise? And you can always
yes.
take your own money out.
Absolutely,
yep.
without penalties.
Yes. So your own contribution, if you put in 20 and it's worth 40, you can take out 20
mm-hmm.
without any penalties. And so that is a possibility.
Okay.
Yep.
So simple question.
Yeah. We know, but, you know, I we don't like to see people tapping into their retirement accounts unnecessarily. You know, you got to look at the difference between the wants and the needs. And if
it's an option, but not an
yeah,
option.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to see people blow up their retirement. Because
mm-hmm.
that's exactly what you're doing when you tap into your retirement account too soon.
Yeah, and your problems could be taken care of without doing that.
Yes.
The option
yes.
to do it.
Yes.
But that's another service you guys provide.
That's what we do. We
so
do.
That depends.
Yeah, that depends. That depends. And while we're on retirement plans, one of the things that we do for a lot of our clients, Denise, as you know, is to help them manage their 401ks while they're still working and their 401k stays where it is. Why don't we tell our listeners how that works?
Well, basically, if you have a 401k, let's use, I don't know, Wells Fargo as an example,
mm-hmm.
and you want somebody to take care of that on a daily basis because you don't want to deal with it. You're busy working, and you don't do finance, and you want somebody looking at it so at the end of the day, that has done what you wanted it to do, we as CFP professionals take care of that for you, similar to if you had your assets with us.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. So basically, we advise you on how to allocate your portfolio, mm-hmm. which funds in the 401k are the best to do so, and we tweak that going forward. And as you put in contributions, I mean, I have clients within their 401ks that have a self-directed brokerage account.
Mm-hmm.
So they're outside of that 401k that only gives them maybe investment options of 20 or 25 different
mm-hmm.
funds.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas within a self-directed brokerage account, you have options that are
almost unlimited.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
pretty much.
Yep.
So that Joe and I do that day in and day out along with the other financial planners in our office. So if you're looking for somebody to help you manage your 401k, give us a call or go to financialgroup.com.
It really works well when we manage clients' money that's outside of their 401k, and then they have this 401k that they're contributing to and they're trying to manage and make decisions. When it allows us to have a holistic look at all their money and then to build up a portfolio wrapping their 401k into it and have it all coordinated, as opposed to one 401k doing something and the money that we manage doing something else.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we report to them on a consolidated basis, so it's very easy to manage. So it's one of the things that we're able to do nowadays, thanks to technology. Your money stays with your employer's plan. We're not taking it from there. But what we're doing is we're helping you manage that. So if you want some more information about that, just go to our website. That's financialgroup.com. You can make an appointment or give us a call on Monday morning at 407-869-9800 or 1-800-EXECUTIVE, as if you're executing a legal document.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you need to do.
Well, there is some that texter texted in a part two of that question. Purchasing a property to Europe for $22,000, would it be wise to withdraw from Roth?
Purchasing a property to Europe or
probably in Europe.
And that's why the text machine, we ask you to double check your spelling, because we all know how much spell check works like a charm.
Well, I don't think it makes any difference where they're buying the property.
That's what you want to do?
Fortunately, hopefully the property generally is an investment and not going out and taking a world cruise with that $22,000. So
Right. They're
making an investment.
Doing that.
It might make sense. It's better than blowing the money. Sure.
And it's better than taking it from a traditional IRA.
Yes.
Because you're limited to, that's another story.
Yep.
Okay. Well, if you have a question for the panel, it's 844-220-0965, 844-220-0965, or like the last texters have done, you can text your question to 21232. That's 21232. We are playing tomorrow.
Today.
With Joe Burton, Denise Kovach from the Certified Financial Group on News 96.5 WDBO.
News 96.5 is WDBO-FM Orlando.
Powered by New South Window Solutions.
A Cox Media Group station.
Larry Perry, Magic Mechanic here. Pick any mileage. That's right. With our extensive use of Amsoil synthetic lubricants, you can keep your vehicle as long as you want without it breaking the bank. Need repairs but no transportation? Reserve an in-shop rate $8.99 a day rental vehicle. Next loop service or any maintenance or repair. Call Magic Mechanic at 407-629-2661 or visit magicmechanic.com. Magic Mechanic, celebrating 30 years in Central Florida.
This is News 96.5 WDBO.
And welcome back. It is the final segment of On the Money with the Certified Financial Group here on News 96.5 WDBO. It is your last chance to get your question answered. Text us at 21232. That is 21232. Let's get to Rick in Melbourne real quick. Rick, you're on with the Certified Financial Group. Good morning.
Good morning. I definitely appreciate your show on Saturdays. I try not to miss one. I'm 58 in good health, but I'm trying to find ways to pass my assets to my heirs without probate. I got everything else taken care of, but the Ladybird deed was something that kind of piqued my interest this morning. I had a question, a two-part question. Can you list multiple heirs on a Ladybird deed? Instead of just one, and then upon my demise, they could sell the house.
I believe so.
Does that affect my ability to sell the house beforehand? Does it handcuff me in any way?
Nope.
Mm-mm. Not at all.
Nope. You can do it, and you can pass it on to multiple beneficiaries, and it's a simple deal.
It's kind of like a POD, payable on death at a bank.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's talk about. I know
exactly. I heard about a transfer on death, and that's offered in 27 states. Florida's not one of the states where you can do that.
You're talking about real estate, or you're talking about other kinds of accounts?
No. I'm talking about real estate.
Okay.
Now.
Yes.
Everything else, 401ks and things, I've been able to list beneficiaries for that, Roth IRAs, et cetera.
Yes.
But real estate is the one that I heard about the PODs, and I looked it up, and it's not available.
Yeah.
But this Ladybird deed would probably be the best way to go about that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you suggest that it'd be drawn up by an attorney.
Yes. In fact, we have a text here that we can tie right into that. Here's the text. I'm 54 and have 30. No, that's the wrong one. Wife's burden, that's the wrong one, too.
This is the one. My father's only asset is his house. It only has about $40,000 in equity left. Should I let that go through probate or just add my name to the deed? How does that work?
Well, if you had your name to the deed, as we said earlier on, your father runs the risk of if you get sued or something, that property now could become part of the lawsuit.
And then you lose half of the step-up.
And then you lose the step-up. So it's not the amount of equity that you have, it's what the house is worth. So let's say he has little equity, but the house is worth a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't pay a lot for it. So you got a big gain, big potential profit. So you want to get the step-up. You don't want to put your name on the deed now. And do the Lady Bird deed because the cost of going through probate is probably going to be maybe a little bit greater than going to see an attorney and have the Lady Bird deed done. This way it's done just the way you want it, and it's simple dimple, so that's what I would definitely do.
Okay.
So, Rick, I hope that answers your question.
Yep, pretty much. Thanks so much for the time, Rick, or for your call. Let's really quickly get to some of these text questions before we get out of here. Wife's birthday is October 1946. Her RMD is 3/2017. Her 403B admin did not notify her of her RMD requirement. What should she do?
It's her birthday, October of 1946. So her that'd be April of 18 would be when she turned 7. She turned 7 and a half. I got to do the math here.
She says her RMD is due on March 2017.
If it's due in March 2017,
her RMD is March 2017.
No, that's wrong. Right. If her birthday is October of 1946, that she turned 70. Okay, 70 of 2016.
She's 72.
Yes.
46.
She missed. You know, the good news is the IRS have become pretty lenient on this. If you put in an explanation with it and make the payment, they generally don't ding you. So that's what I would do.
And be responsible for your own RMDs going forward.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. When you're 70 and a half, alrighty, you got to start taking RMDs.
Yep.
All right. 30 seconds left. What's the best number to reach you at in upcoming workshops?
407-869-9800 or better yet, financialgroup.com.
All right. We have been planning tomorrow.
Today.
Certified Financial Group. We'll be back here next Saturday, 9 a.m. right here on News 96.5 WDBO.